The title of the presentation is Biological Interpretation of GE Interactions Using AMI Analysis in NTEP Trials. The authors are Scott Ebden and Hugh Gouch. Presenting will be Scott Ebden.
Okay, we're going to move on to something really exciting. AMI, an acronym for Additive Main Effect Multiplicative Interaction Model. And AMI is a large family of models. We use AMI on a routine basis. We may not recognize it. Analysis of variance, the additive model is a subcase of the AMI family of models, as are multiplicative or multivariate techniques, such as principal component or eigenanalysis. And the only restriction with AMI models is that the data must be organized as a two-way classification. So when you look at NTEP, National Turfgrass Evaluation Program data sets, they can be organized as a two-way. So what these AMI models do is they target the treatment sums of squares. The additive model partitions the treatment sums of squares into genotype environment main effects. The residual, which is multiplicative, is not analyzed by the ANOVA procedures, partitioned using eigenanalysis into a series of orthogonal interaction axes. And in the process of partitioning the interaction sums of squares, they're able to remove, eliminate, and also minimize the error or the noise in the data, and in turn increase the accuracy of the data. And one of the goals of AMI, in addition to accuracy, it's able to reveal real pattern and structure in the data, which allows us to try to interpret the data in biologically meaningful ways. And so it allows us to try to give some meaning in biological terms, significance, you know, the GE interaction, why genotypes interact with their environments. The AMI models, the large family of models. You have, for example, the AMI-0 model, and this is the additive model. These are genotype and environment main effects. And also you have the AMI-F model. This is the full model. These are cell means. These are means averaged over replicates. And AMI-F, AMI-0, these are not the optimal models for accuracy, but rather some reduced model, like AMI-1 or AMI-2 models. These are generally the optimal models for predictive accuracy. So, for example, the AMI-1 model, which includes the additive component, genotype environment main effects, but also you have the first interaction axis. And included in that axis, you have information, parameters about the genotype and environment and their interaction patterns, you know, the interaction between the genotypes and environments, but also environments and their interaction patterns with the genotypes. And so from that AMI output, we're able to develop these biplots, which helps us to understand in meaningful terms, you know, the interaction between genotypes and their growing environments. And as used as an example, the 1990 Kentucky bluegrass and also perennial ryegrass data sets, specifically turfgrass quality was analyzed. And I'm going to be reporting on just Kentucky bluegrass. And in that data set, there were 125 genotypes that were planted in 69 different location year combinations. So there's 8,625 treatment means. And when you include the observations, replications, there's over 25,000 observations in that data set. And this is the AMI-1 biplot for genotypes. In the biplot, the horizontal axis, these are turfgrass quality, and these are main effect means. So as you move along this horizontal axis, this indicates differences in those 125 genotypes. That's due to main effects. The vertical axis, those are interaction scores for those 125 genotypes. They're positive and they're negative scores. They indicate the size and direction with which genotypes interact with environments. And those scores, they're dimensionless, they're unitless, okay? But they are the square root of the original Y value, which is turfgrass quality. So for example, 1169, the experimental, and also 382, they do not differ in their main effects, but they have opposite interaction patterns. So 1169 has a large positive interaction score, which is opposite that of 382. So the kind of environments that 1169 prefers is distinctly different and opposite of that of 382. On the other hand, Barzon and Preakness, they differ in their main effects, but they do not differ in interaction. Their interaction scores approach zero. So their ranking remains relatively stable from one location year to another location year. no interaction. Then if you look at the midnight, which is an overall winner based on its main effects, and the poor performing type of ginger, they're located along a diagonal, and therefore they differ both in their main effects and also in their interaction. And they also have distinctly different type of environments that they prefer. They have opposite interaction scores. And we can superimpose into that AMI1 biplot for the genotypes, we can put in there this hypothetical winner. And that hypothetical winner, that's the universal winner in all location year combination. So that particular winner is number one ranked genotype in all 69 environments, because it rank does not change as an interaction score is zero. But those genotypes don't exist. It's a major departure from the general pattern that you see. In fact, the midnight, for example, main effect winners, they're narrowly adapted. They have large interaction scores. On the other hand, Barzan and Preakness, which do not interact with environments, they're typically average performing types. And oftentimes, we can pick up patterns between the interaction, and also they tend to co-vary with some variable that has to do with the pedigree of the plant. So this is the same AMI1 biplot, but superimposed in there are Kentucky bluegrass classification types, or actually classification types proposed by Rutgers. For example, you have the aggressive types. You have the BVMG, Baron Victor Merritt Known types, Midwest Common types, Mid-Atlantic type, Bellevue, compact types. And then you have some that are just unclassified. They don't fall into any group. And of course, integrated into those classification groups are criteria such as their morphology, their place of origin, their reaction with biotic and also abiotic stresses. And these interaction scores, again, those interaction scores, those are unitless. They're dimensionless. But yet, oftentimes we can see that they tend to co-vary with the some core variables that has to do with the pedigree of the plant. So for example, the Midwest common types, they have an interaction pattern which is distinctly different and also opposite from compact types, as do Bellevue and Mid-Atlantic types. They all share similar interaction patterns. And so we look at some of these classification groups. You have the South Dakota Midwest common types. You have the Midnight more compact types. They differ in interaction patterns, but also they differ in their morphology, and in turn, they can differ in their tolerances to mowing. And this becomes important when you try to interpret, you know, biologically meaningful terms, why genotypes interact with their environments. And oftentimes, we can see that these interaction scores tend to co-vary with other factors that have to do with the pedigree of the plant. And oftentimes what we see, in the case of Kentucky bluegrass, they're highly correlated with disease, specifically leaf spot. So as leaf spot resistance increases in those 125 genotypes, you generally tend to see a more positive interaction score or pattern. And you've superposed in there the compact or Midwest common types again. They occupy very specific regions in their interaction pattern, but also they differ in their susceptibility to leaf spot. The same is also true for these AMI1 biplots for the environment. They're interpreted in the same way that genotype interaction biplots are interpreted. So you have the main effect, means along the horizontal axis, and you have, again, the interaction scores for the environment. So for example, Kingston, Rhode Island, they differ in their main effects, but they do not differ in their interaction. So the relative ranking of those 125 genotypes remains relatively stable from one year to another year. Similarly with Beltsville, Maryland, they form a tight cluster in that biplot for the environment. So again, year-to-year variation in those cultivar rankings for those same roster 125 genotypes is relatively unstable. On the other hand, Post Falls, Idaho, large positive interaction patterns, quite different from Haymarket, Virginia. Negative interaction patterns. So who wins, who loses in Post Falls, Idaho is distinctly different and opposite from those same 125 genotypes in Haymarket, Virginia. And just like the interaction biplots for the genotypes, we can oftentimes see that these locations tend to co-vary with those interaction scores. And it can, those environment interaction scores may co-vary with climatic conditions, soil factors, or cultural intensity. And oftentimes what we see is that those environment interaction scores tend to vary with the level of culture. Height of cut in the case of Kentucky bluegrass. So as the height of cut increase, in those 69 different location year combinations, you certainly tend to see a more negative interaction score. And so when you look at the AMI by plot for the environment, large positive scores certainly tend to suggest lower height of cut. Large negative scores indicate a higher height of cut. In order to interpret interactions, you have to bring together into the same biplot genotype and environment, main effects, and interaction patterns. So in this AMI biplot, you have 125 genotypes, 69 different location year combinations. And when you look at this biplot, you think, wow, it's cluttered. But that single biplot captures almost 80% of the total variation in over 25,000 observations, 8,625 treatment means. So you can try to interpret interaction by looking at hundreds of pages of raw means. And those raw means, the true patterns and structures are buried in those raw means. Or you try to interpret the interaction using these biplots. So as an example, you got Midnight. Midnight has a large positive score, interaction score. And so when you plant it in Adelphia, New Jersey, which also has a large positive score, to estimate interaction, all you do is just multiply the genotype score times the environment score. So when you plant Midnight in Adelphia, New Jersey, you see a large positive interaction, a significant gain in turf quality and also ranking. The other thing, if you plant Midnight in Haymarket, Virginia, large negative score, opposite sign, you see a loss in ranking, a loss in turf grass quality. The other hand, Ginger, if you plant Ginger in Adelphia, New Jersey, opposite sign, again, you see a significant negative interaction, a loss in quality, and also a loss in ranking. So Ginger actually prefers to be growing in Haymarket, Virginia. Recall Midnight, compact type, has excellent leaf spot resistance. So when you plant it under the closer height of cut of Adelphia, New Jersey, you see, again, a significant gain in turf grass quality. Again, it's adapted. But under a higher height of cut of Haymarket, Virginia, you see a loss in ranking turf quality. On the other hand, Ginger, which is susceptible to leaf spot, and because of its upright growth habit, it's not going to be as tolerant to closer height of cut. Because of greater leaf spot pressure, you see a large negative interaction. So again, Ginger prefers a higher height of cut of Haymarket, Virginia. So in closing, there's nothing mysterious about interactions, but to understand and interact the interaction, you first of all have to partition out the noise to reveal the real patterns and structures in the data. And then you have to break that interaction down into its basic components, genotype and environment patterns. So in the case of Kentucky bluegrass, those genotype interaction scores were closely associated with the disease, leaf spot severity. I didn't report this, but perennial ryegrass, the same. Those interaction scores for ryegrass were highly correlated with leaf spot and also brown patch. In case of environment interaction scores, they're going to vary with the location, climatic, culture conditions. Oftentimes what we see has to do with the level of culture, the cultural intensity. Case of Kentucky bluegrass, those mowing height of cut. Mowing height of cut is going to increase leaf spot severity, as does in the perennial ryegrass, it's nitrogen fertility. It's going to influence both leaf spot and also brown patch disease. So these AMU models are very effective in helping us to understand the biological reason why genotypes do interact with environments. And I'd like to thank NTAP for providing the funding for this research. Thank you.
We have time for questions, if anyone has any questions for Scott.